Hi, family. I'm Tony. I'm an addict.
Hey, Tony.
And first of all, I just want to thank God. It's only through His grace and mercy and infinite wisdom that all things are possible. And I just want to thank the committee for asking me to participate in this convention. And it's, you know, and I came in a little late. I had to work today, and I'm real grateful just to be a part of. And I was all right till I started seeing some faces that I knew. So I'm not gonna look at y'all. I'm just trying to keep it simple. And I got to say, this is my first time speaking at a convention.
All right.
You know, and I've been clean by the grace of God for about 25 years, 9 months, and 28 days, something like that. So, and I'm not counting. That's just for today. You know. And my cohort Sojourner, I asked her what edition of the basic text she has, and she says, just like you, I got the third edition, which was printed in 1985 or 86, and that's when I came in, all right? And I still have my book. It's falling apart, but I still read it today. It's written, a member in my rehab attached the coin. She said, look, if you're going to go out and use, swallow the coin first before you go out and use and then go out, you know what I mean? And I try to keep it as simple as possible, too. And I'm trying to, because there's another speaker, so I'm not going to put all the stuff on the table. I'm just going to tell you that I love to freebase cocaine. I love to sniff cocaine also, mixed with a little heroin. And I love to drink vodka and take Black Beauties, and not necessarily in that order. Okay, so there was a mix, you know. And born and raised in Brooklyn, moved to New Rochelle. And by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, it was January of 1986. I got into a point in my life where I was beaten, submissive in a lot of different areas that I didn't even know. And I did a lot of things that I didn't think I would do in order to find out who and what I was. And for me, what happened, real simple, is that God plucked me out of the insanity and dropped me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. That's just as simple as I'm going to keep it. The rehab was discovery, but the real recovery started in the rooms. And I started to make meetings. And I took a friend of mine who I met in my first meeting, and we became hostage partners. And I started to make meetings with this gentleman. And that's what I did early on, you know. And fortunate after a little while to get a sponsor. And after getting that sponsor, he took me through the steps, you know, one at a time. And he had a little schedule, but he took his time with me because you had a long time of getting high. And I don't want you to rush this process, because this process is going to help you stay alive for the rest of your life, one day at a time. And I'm so grateful to that man. And he was a funny looking cat. He was from Wilson, North Carolina. About 5'3", 5'4", and the first time I met him, he was he had a striped shirt, double knit pants, skippies, and blue socks. And what happened was, I took his physical inventory. I didn't take the other type of inventory. So I looked at him and I started laughing, and I said to myself, what can this man possibly offer me? And he says, I know you laughing at my get up, but check this out. I got 4 years clean, and you're trying to get 90 days together. So if you want what I have, you will do what I do, or you can ask somebody else to be your sponsor. And so I understood that man right away, what he wanted me to do. And real simple, we got busy. And in a matter of 2 years and 9 months, I had completed the 12 steps. And after that, he took me through the 12 traditions also, because I couldn't do one without the other for this addict. And I'll summarize the steps, how I got it, and then I'll give a little dissertation on the 12 step, real simple. In steps 1, 2, and 3, I learned about giving up. In steps 4, 5, and 6, I learned about cleaning up. In steps 7, 8, 9, I learned about making up, cleaning my side of the street. in steps 10, 11, and 12 that I learned about growing up one day at a time. And still by today, by the grace of God, that's what I do. But I don't ever want to forget who I am and what I am. I'm an addict, and I'm still seeking recovery, regardless how much clean time I have. Yeah, clean time speaks for itself, but all I have is 24 hours just for today. I got up today at 3:30. So I don't know who else got up before me. That's probably the person who got the most time just for today. You know, but I try to wear my recovery like a loose garment. I might be the only version of a basic text somebody might see. You know, so I try to act accordingly, you know. And my man's laughing because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But I try to do the best I can with what I have. And by the time my sponsor took me through step 12, real simple, I went through some sort of personality changes, I understand. And he said, look, I think you're ready to go out and fly. I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, we're going on the 12th step. And I said, what do you do after that? He says, well, you'll be ready to sponsor some people. You act like a recovering member of this fellowship. And you're going to try to learn how to practice these principles in all your affairs. And so I wouldn't get affairs misconstrued. He says, not go out and get in as many affairs as you can. But affairs in terms of getting involved in friendships, different types of relationships, in your job place, wherever you are, your family setting, act accordingly. You know, and very simply, I went through a personality change. I wasn't the same person who came into these rooms. It wasn't about stealing or taking something that didn't belong to me, because when I was active, and it wasn't so much of active, I was radioactive when I was active. Okay, and I did a lot of different things that I wasn't proud of. You know, so it was trying to change. What I learned early on is that change was inevitable, but suffering was optional. And so if I didn't change, I was going to die. And not die so much of a physical death, but begin to die of a death that would take me through some mental, emotional, and spiritual changes. And what had happened also as a result of my addiction, I hit a spiritual bottom also, you know, and went through a lot of pain, a lot of uncomfortability. Some of the things, you know, what happened early on, I couldn't establish eye-to-eye contact with another human being as a result of the shame, guilt, and remorse that and because of the actions that had taken place while I was active. You know, so going through steps 1 through 11, for me, real simple, was like putting the glue together with parts of me and would begin to heal me. And I started to see the light. You know, I started, because for me, I didn't move unless I was in trouble. And so for me, real simple, I started to see the light. I didn't move because I felt the heat. I moved because I wanted to get better. I wanted to change. And I thought this program would be a difficult one. I was afraid to go through the process early on. I didn't want to go back out and use, but I was hesitant. I thought I could just chill out, or as a friend of mine from Queens says, chillaxing, whatever that means, you know. And it wasn't about that, because my sponsor kept his foot in my ass. And he says, you need to recover, and you need to recover now. And I'm so grateful to that man for taking me through the process like he did. You know, but going through the step, for me, what it talked about real simple is that, hey, if I meet somebody new, introduce myself. Act like a human being today. Act accordingly. You know, use some of the morals, values, and ethics that my mother and father gave me when I was growing up as a child. Because really, that's what it is. It's nothing cerebral. It's nothing that I got to pray and say this and say that. It's about sitting still with myself, finding out who and what I am. I'm a rejuvenated person today. I'm not the same person that walked into these rooms. I have some assets. I got some liabilities too, but I got something to bring to the table today. I have some decency. I'm not afraid to stand up and show you my character today. Those are the things that really mean something to me today. It's not about what type of car am I driving, how much jewelry I got, who am I with, Am I trying to be slick and quick? I had an opportunity to do all of that. And I hit a lot of bottoms inside the rooms in my early recovery. A lot of bottoms inside the rooms early on. And my sponsor said, well, first thing he asked, well, did you use this? I said, no. He said, well, opportunity for you to grow. Yeah, and let me know, too, that I wasn't going to have a perfect path into this process of recovery. There were going to be some bumps and bruises, but I had the courage to stand up like I'm standing up before you guys tonight and share honestly, openly, willingly, and sincerely. And today, that's what I still do. I try not to shortchange myself. I'm proud to be a member of this fellowship. And whatever I'm asked to do, I do it without hesitation. Because somebody was here for me when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I can remember, and I'm real grateful for this area, Westchester. Back in 85, 86, there was only a few set of meetings. You know, on Sundays, we went to Salesian High School in New Rochelle. Mondays, we were at St. Gabe's. Tuesdays, we were up in White Plains at Grace Church. Wednesdays, we were at Mount Vernon Shot at Life. Thursdays, we were up in Elmsford at the employment office, right? Fridays, we were at Soul Survivors, which is my home group. Saturdays, we were at Saturday Night Live. And Sunday, we did the circuit all over again. So, you know, you couldn't but help to see the people that you came in with. And the collectivity, the collectiveness of unifying one addict helping another, I really saw it come into play early on, you know. And it still works for me today. I get a special feeling when I see somebody who I came in with. But I also welcome the newcomer because I was a newcomer also. I'll always be a beginner, but I don't have to become a newcomer unless I decide to go back out. Just that simple. You know, spiritual awakenings come in different forms, different fashions. And for me, like I said, it was real simple, a very simple personality change. And I'm still in my spiritual awakening today. Yeah, I'm still in it today. It's not, well, I read the book, I went to the meeting, I sponsored people, and that's that. I live it. Is the difference between sharing up here and what am I going to do when I step into the parking lot and somebody cuts me off or somebody spits outside the window and it lands on my car after I washed it and waxed it? You know, those are the things how I act accordingly. You know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, a lot of times today I react by not reacting. I take a look at the whole picture and I say to myself, is it worth it? What's going to happen as a result of me saying something? You know, I don't have, rarely today do I say stuff out the side of my neck because I know it's going to cost me double or triple down the road. You know, by the grace of God, I still have my parents in my life. And I remember when they had black hair and today both of them got salt and pepper. Yeah, but I'm grateful that they're still alive. And so today, I value their presence. You know, and they taught me so much that no matter what I bring to the table, I can never repay them for what they did for me. So part of my responsibility also is being the gentleman that they wanted me to always become. You know, and I'm proud to say that I can do that today. Give my employer the 8 hours plus. Be an active member of this fellowship. I'm an active member of my community and my living arrangement where I'm at. Just be a different person from the person that I thought I was going to be when I was 27, 28 years old when I came into this fellowship. I'm 53 today. You know, and I'll tell you something real quick. I always knew how to please myself, but I never knew how to take care of myself until I came into Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. And the healing part is real important. I got a good friend of mine, that guy who I came in with, after 10 years, he went back out. And he's struggling. And I know his bones are aching. And I know the methadone is kicking his ass. You know, and I'd love to just put my arms around him and say, but I can't do that. Sometimes the only thing I might be able to do for somebody is pray for them. And that hurts sometimes. But I know prayer works. I know that sitting still and allowing the God in you to penetrate to me to get to somebody else is probably going to work today. You know. You know, I highlighted my book and forget about it. Forget about it. I'm not even going to try to figure out what I highlighted. But how I carry the message today is just, like I said, to be a pop example. I don't try to be anybody different or special. In morning prayer meditation, what I just ask God for me to do is to be the best person I could possibly be today and not hurt anybody in the process, including myself. Because for this addict, a lot of times, rather than hurting you, I'll hurt myself. And today, I'm not doing that. I've come to find out being honest, open, and sincere with somebody isn't that fearful anymore. The worst thing that they can do is say no. Yes, maybe, or you got to wait. You know, and those are the things that I've come to learn as a recovering person today. You know. I don't walk down the street and say, well, I'm going to work the seventh step at 10:30, and at 4:30 I work the third step. I just ask God to help me, guide me, show me, and embrace me so I can carry this message and be a better person today than I was yesterday. You know, and some of the lessons that I learned in my recovery were bitter, were painful, but I didn't use. You know, and I had the courage the next day to tell my sponsor about it. I had the courage the next day to share about it at a meeting, you know, or share it with a sponsee or whatever the case may be. I lost my halo on my 91st day. Okay, and some days the only thing I can do is work the first step. But there's other days when I'm brimming with honesty and flying like a gazelle, you know, because that's the balance. That's the balance. Please go through the steps. It's the healing process. Sponsorship counts, everything else counts, but you need to recover. You got to go through the 12 steps. You know, it's only the beginning, you know. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, Chuck, grateful recovering addict. And now to share their experience, strength, and hope. I give you Sojourner.
She's from the Bronx. She lives in Brooklyn.
My family, I'm an addict named Sojourner.
Hey, Sojourner.
First things first, I'd like to thank my higher power for everything. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share. Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'm going to talk about how this tradition helped me this last year. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. My mother was very, very ill, and I had not spoken to my mother in 40 years. But this fellowship taught me that I have to put principles before personalities. So I made sure that during her illness, I went down to Maryland with my daughter to see her. And I made sure to make peace before she crossed over last October, because it's really about putting principles before personalities. One of the things that this fellowship has taught me, and I've been here for a minute. I've been here for 24, and y'all taught me that just the person that I can't stand and the person that I don't like, That's going to be the individual that's going to have the information or give me the helping hand that I need. That's what we're talking about when we talk about principles before personalities. I may not like you, but if you're in recovery with me and you can help me to stay clean for another 24 hours, I need to be talking to you. And a lot of times we get so caught up, and notice I'm saying we get so caught up in the personalities that we totally forget about the principles. What it is that we all come in here to do, stay clean a day at a time, not use, find a new way to live. That's what we come in here to do. All of that other stuff are the additives, but those are the things that we come here to do. You know, when I first came around, I'm with Tony, you know, one meeting per town, per night, you know, and traveling in packs in the NA mobile or with a bus pass. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us didn't get in the car. Some of us had to get on the bus, you know. But we learned to trust each other. We learned who we were. There were times in this in my recovery process, because it ain't all about, you know, cookies and cream in here. It ain't all about everything you get clean and everything gets okay. I made some major mistakes in recovery. What helped me to get through those mistakes was that people around me practiced principles before personalities. So they didn't kick me to the curb because I wasn't doing what everybody else thought I should be doing. And that's how this program works. We accept you for who you are, wherever you're at. And as you begin to grow, as I began to grow in this fellowship, I became aware of the fact that people loved me in spite of me. That they would have my back even when I didn't have my own back. Principles before personalities. You know, the longer I stay here, sometimes, it's a challenge to continue doing the things that I did in the beginning. I made meetings, I had a sponsor, I did some service. And sometimes with time, I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing no service. But the real deal is that somebody did some service for me to get up in here. And if I'm going to stay up in here, then I need to be doing some service. And I need to be stepping out of the way of the newcomers or the new people coming in so that they can learn also. You know how we get some time in here and all of a sudden we have permanent positions and we don't want to share. You know, yeah, permanent positions. But the only way that the newcomer can learn how to do what we do is for us to step aside and coach them into being able to perform the service, whatever that may be. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, they gonna make some mistakes, because I know I made some mistakes. You know, I remember I had a coffee commitment, and they used to make Spanish coffee, and I wasn't too good at making the Spanish coffee. But you know what? Somebody came over and they said, listen here, You're messing up the coffee. This is how you make the coffee. Okay? We don't want no more of your coffee. We want you to learn how to do it right. You know? And I'm grateful for that. I truly, truly am. I'm grateful for the individuals who told me when I got here, shut up, sit down, you don't know nothing about recovery. And I hear people saying today, they can't tell me shut the up because I probably wouldn't stay here. Well, you know what? Them same people that told me shut the F up were the same people that took me to the coffee shop right. after the meeting right. to talk to me.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's Those were the same people who, if I was in trouble at 2 o'clock in the morning and I dialed their number, I didn't get an answering machine. They picked up the phone and said, yo, how you doing? What's going on? You know, this tradition is so important for me in my personal life because we're taught to practice these principles in all my affairs. So I have to take this one and go to my job with it. I have to practice it with my family, with my daughter, with my grandchildren, you know what I'm saying? With my friends, with everyone. And it teaches me how to be a better person. Because if I live in the principle and not in the personality, I know that there's hope. I know that there's hope. You know, and it takes me out of the damn judgment. I don't know about anybody else, but I, you know, if I'm living in the principle, I ain't judging your personality. I'm trying to help you, or I'm trying to listen, or I'm trying to be the best person that I can be for me. You know? This tradition is real important. It takes us out of I, and it puts us in we. I don't do this, we do this. And as long as I keep it in we, I'll be okay. You know, as long as I think in we and not in I, I'll be okay. You know, my grand sponsor was a brother by the name of Will P. And when I first came around, I was a real nosy ass addict. I was in everybody's business except my own. And he called me up one day and he said to me, Sojourner, I'm real tired of hearing your name up in Dutchess County, and you live down in Westchester County. So I'm gonna give you 5 pieces of business. And from this point forward, I want you to mind your business. And I got a pencil and I wrote them down. And I've been minding my business ever since. And minding my business has kept me here for as long as it has. And the first piece of business was learn to recover a day at a time. I didn't come in here knowing how to do this. I learned to do this a day at a time. Second piece of business was apply the knowledge that I learned on a daily basis. I don't just do this in a meeting for an hour and a half. I do this on my job, in my life, wherever. Because it's real easy to stay clean in a meeting. Try getting high in a meeting. It's outside of the meeting that it really comes into play. Third piece of business, establish me as me. I didn't come in here looking like this, talking like this, speaking like this. For those of y'all that know me, I used to have locks that I could sit on. establish me as me. And some people may like me, and some people may not. But you know what? If you don't use, and I don't use, and we'll come to meetings, we'll recover together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fourth piece of business. Please notice where it is on the list. Family and home. If you don't do the first three, you ain't gonna have a family and home. Because y'all know, we all know about the everything must go sale. Fifth piece of business, and it's the piece that I love the most, living and enjoying life. This fellowship, the 12 steps, the 12th tradition, has allowed me to live and enjoy life. Am I always happy with it? No. Do I think it could be better? Yes, I do. But you know what? This fellowship has told me, and these principles have taught me, that I have to earn and I have to work at having a better life. And that's what I do on a daily basis. That's exactly what I do. And the way that he tied them all up was that he said, anytime anything or anyone is contrary to the above, you are to run, not walk, to the nearest exit to save your ass and to have the best possible recovery on the planet. And I can tell you, 24 years later, I've had the best possible recovery. And I wish you the same. Thank you for letting me share.
Damn.